This episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the support link.
What fabulous timing. What fabulous timing. This is Be Told, episode number 62. Yes, you can believe it. On April the... is it the 11th? The 11th, Splashdown. Why was it on the 11th? Splashdown, that fucking ludicrous moon story that they hidden away with the news of war, etc., etc. With those four, it looked like friends flying in space, you know. But they had a, that would have had a darkish coloured person though to make sure it was balanced. I'm surprised they weren't mainly, it should have been, if it was with advertising, would have been like over here. There's no white people involved with anything if you look at the advertising. There would have been one or two Indians, one African American or whatever, and a indistinguishable kind of Latino female with curly hair. But it wasn't. They seemed to have a, I think it was fairly bit, racist. It was a bit more, there was more white people than darkish people on this moon mission. Artemis. Now, Artemis keeps coming up all the time. It's the legend of Diana and everything, isn't it? Something like that. Blah, 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 blah. Apple have Artemis. If you look up Apple, they've got something to do with Artemis. There's a fantastic guy, I forget what he called himself, the Harpington Observer, or the, he was some American guy with curly hair driving around, talking about the stuff that was coming down, what happened just, you know, 2 years later with COVID. He was fantastic. He's probably still going. Forget his name. But he was on about Artemis as well years ago. So the, why are they bringing these same, you know, moon missions with Artemis again? Dave probably explained it already, I'm not sure, but anyway, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so Rollo, guess what? Rollo is sick again. As I'm encouraging him to get onto some broth, bone broth, bone broth. I keep repeating that to him, but, you know, now he's a vegetarian. Listen, if you're not eating bone broth, and getting, he says, sliding a door, window, you are going to be going to get sick. I mean, you, as long as you're getting eggs and cheese or something or other if you're vegetarian, but this veganist thing, he is a bit more vegan. I have to say, I suspect he's a bit more vegan than he thinks. Because, you know, bone broth could be made from a dead chicken that died naturally, aha, or whatever. Am I making banging noises? I have the fucking useless fucking new earphone that I bought. Hopefully it sounds better than the last show I did. My goodness, that must have been, the microphone must have been in my underpants or something like that. You know, that was so, now this is going to be a problem. I've just tried to tie up the microphone so it's not waving around. And making bashing noises, so we'll try that. We'll go with this one. It's really annoying. I've got to get a proper microphone and stop being a Luddite. Yes, stop being a Luddite. Anyway, I'll be told episode number 62. We've already talked about this Artemis bullshit, so it was a splashdown today. And I think Dave pointed out that we just dropped out of a C-130 with no one in it. They wouldn't risk the lives of, you know, friends up in space. Yes, there's that drinking noise. I've had to lower my standards big time with this diesel crisis. You know, but it's so much cheaper. If you lower your standards, you can buy beer for at least $15 cheaper than what I was normally paying. And tobacco, forget about that. That's not even a quarter or a third. It's a quarter of the price. Less. It's $15 for like 2 or 3 weeks. Incredible. And so it tastes completely normal to me. But anyway, now I was going to talk. Now I just listened. What I call it, the misfortune of the fortune. I had to listen to the whole thing too. Sean McCann. I've been bringing him up a bit lately because I do enjoy the other two guys particularly. He's got Hans Utter, who I put up there as being one of the top up there. But you know, I'm talking about overall performance. Like, he's a very nice, friendly guy, approachable. Extraordinarily intelligent, and understands music and colours and all this kind of stuff as well, but really into the music stuff, which is fantastic. And I've enjoyed this. He managed to do, he did what I've done with Dave J. Jan Irvin would be, if not, he'd have to say be a close second to Dave J as the most abrasive, guy you could ever envisage talking to on a podcast, unless you get on right. And Hans did, I think, 30 something shows or 50, maybe 50 something shows with Jan, who honestly, your chair is squeaking! Your chair is squeaking! You know, what he did to, what's his name? He probably deserved it for writing that book that he wrote, Rubbishing the Christianity. He deserved the squeaky chair. He deserved having a squeaky chair. He was punished. Caesar's Messiah, Joe Atwell, who's another very likable guy. He's been on Fakeologist a few times. I like Joe's stuff, though, and he does a great show with Tim Kelly called Prowls and Principalities. But, Hans Utter did 50 plus, maybe not. Maybe I've broken the record doing, I've done 56 shows with Dave J. No one ever has done that before. This is a world, probably universal, I would say world record for sure, guaranteed. And they're good shows too. And there's bits and pieces in there that you can, even the dummies can pick out. For sure. Or maybe not dummies, but, There's some interesting things, but I'll just go over the head of most people. Like, not most people. Yeah, most people. Sorry. Cheap beer tastes exactly the same as expensive beer. There you go. And any complaints, call my secretary. That JF1, you with the, he hasn't been complaining lately. He sends me, I get about around 5,000 to 6,000 emails a day, conservatively, on a slow day. Some of them very funny. He's very on point with some things, but just babbles away. I think you do need to have a transcriber, though, to come and analyze, you know, probably someone that spent a lot of time analyzing ancient Sumerian tablets. May be able to kind of grasp some of his emails that he sends. But anyway, there's this show I listen to. I haven't said it yet, but yeah, the Waking the Dead podcast. And guess who he's got on? He's hit pay dirt for his love of talking to crazy women that are talking about stuff. He got Fiona Barnett on. And it is well worth listening to if you want to hear. The only way to describe her would be if, because she's been into this stuff as long as me. She's a bit younger, so nearly as young as me. Because they're talking about cassettes. She used to listen to cassettes and stuff, and the mother was into this. So her mother got into this thing. Very dangerous. Watch out for your children. You do not want them to become conspiracy theorists, because this could eventuate. Because she sounds like one of the feral women that sat behind me the other day, you fucking cunt, after a boyfriend threw up on her. Exactly the same voice. But if you tied her in with my, you know, 40 something years of conspiracy research and books and stuff that I've read, and just started spitting it all out, and then add a whole lot of stuff that is so fucking implausible as to win records. Super soldier. She was a super soldier, and she, you know, was with the Delta Force in America when she was 14, going and killing people every left, right, and center. And oh dear. And then all of a sudden she'll name particular doctors and scientists that worked at Sydney University that were obviously researching stuff that she. So what was she actually filled full of? You know, they put this information into her head, false information that she was. False memories. I don't know, but she is just half the time you're going, oh, that's interesting. And then you go, oh, she's mad. And then she starts swearing and she, you fucking cunt. About pretty much the last half of that show, she sounds like mid North Coast train, me with a severe head injury and 2 grams of speed in my brain and I was spouting out stuff and then adding movies I've seen. Secret soldiers, you know, and and then saying that, I mean, look, I'll bring this up to you. The feminine and masculine now, it's completely changed. And you can see it with female sports stars. We've got the Matildas over here, very this strange coincidental name too, with Matilda and a couple of psyops. And Matilda's the name of the girl in the movie we were talking about on Rick and Rollo. Leon the Professional. Matilda pops up quite a lot. And we've got a team called the Matildas, which is an Australian national anthem, Waltzing Matilda. Very famous national anthem. Anyway, there's these sporting stars. Now, most of them got covered in tattoos. Yeah, and they're lesbians a lot of the time. It's just on fire, this lesbian thing. It is just everywhere. And one of the stars, they're going out and having lads, like what we used to call lads nights, but now it's girls nights out in England. And the girls just go out just dressed as the sluttiest sluts you've ever seen in your life around Birmingham and, you know, and Manchester and false eyelashes. Literally, you know, how would you call it? Like vagina exposing dresses on. Staggering around, drunk and fighting, and probably doing a better job than most blokes. That's my drinking noise, and I'm going to keep doing it. Anyway, send the letter of complaint to my secretary, Miss Brahms of Be Told Show at betold.com. There you go. Miss Brahms, that's my secretary. I've just created. There I'm getting beer out of the fridge. Do I care? No. But you're going to get good information off the Be Told Show and hopefully a laugh because humour is what's going to save your brain. It's going to save your brain. If you haven't got it, you're done for. You're done for. And that's why I love the Rick and Rollo shows. Usually a lot of, you know, it's quite funny. Be Told should be funnier and I should be making it funnier. And if you don't like slurping, how could I stop you hearing that? No, I can't do it. I don't care. It's Saturday night. What else are you meant to be doing? Talking and chatting. And if I was sitting next to you in a bar, it's the same sounds would be emanating from my mouth as this radio show. So any fussy people, and JF1, the one that put a complaint into AB once, if you're complaining, if I find out where you live, I'm going to send one of the squad around from the Fiona Barnett's Delta to change your toothpaste to rectal prolapse treatment cream. That's what I'll do, Be Told. So anyway, there's Fiona Barnett. You've got to listen to the show. This has got to be. She's taken it over the top of that guy Campbell. Someone Campbell that came on Greg's Carwood show and it claims that he was that clones. As soon as they start bringing up clones and white hats, you know you've got a loony, guaranteed. There is no clone stuff going on apart from possibly you can get a dog cloned, But that whole cloning thing's been hijacked by the conspiracy crowd, the white hat tunnel crowd. Well, just lighter's not working. Throw that away. So, yeah, there she goes. She brings up everything, including she was a super soldier. In between some really good information, you know, about the Kidman, Dr. Kidman, who I've no doubt that she may have had some interaction with, but the rest of the stuff, the aliens, the UFOs, super soldiers, Crimea, monkey, half monkey, half human babies that have been designed to rape children. That's what she says. That's what she says. She's read all the books. I know she's read all the books I've read. She name drops a few people. I actually got to meet a couple of those people though that she's read the books of, and one of them being the Stan Deo, amongst others, and a whole lot more, at Nexus conferences or at Healthy Mind Body Spirit conferences over the years, where these people were there talking, and if you recognise them like I did, you just walk up and talk to them. Walk up and talk to them. And oh my! But you, and there's Sean McCann, off his head, stoned off his head, going, oh my god! Instead of going, excuse me, can we just stop here? So you're flying a Cessna at 14, full of children, and Dr. Victor Chang has ordered you to do this. He's on the plane with you. This is Victor Chang, famous heart surgeon, who did get gunned down by the triads. It was a shakedown, I would say. But he was shot, so it can feed him with this conspiracy stuff. She claims she was flying a Cessna. It crashed into Sydney Harbour. He didn't tell her there was kids in the back, and they all drowned, but she managed to save one. She then, in her words, marched all the way to Holsworthy Barracks, which I can tell you right now, I know how far that is, a long way, and 14-year-old marching wouldn't get there for, you know, a couple of days. She then called out the commander, and beat him up with her special superpowers that she has as a super soldier, 14-year-old female. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, while I'm not going to put money on this because I haven't got any to lose, this is at a different level of conspiracy tainment that I've ever heard. I was just going, whoa. I had to listen to the whole show. I could not believe it. So it's the latest, no, not latest, but it's Waking the Dead podcast, three or four before. Again, she brings up my old next door neighbor. And so she'd say, you know, because I did security and I worked for it, but I definitely wasn't in the military. She would accuse me of being one of the bad guys that's out to destroy her because I, you know, blah, blah, blah. Now, listen, love, I'm cleaning toilets for a living. No, I do it, though. I do it. I don't do it as a living, but I do have to do it. I am not a paid, high-paid ex-government on a pension from the military. No, I am a struggling itinerant worker of the lowest magnitude, you can say, doing the stuff that most people won't do. But let me just say this now. I was talking to a good friend of mine about this today. We are not the guys that are worried about AI. You, computer people, and writers, and anyone in the creative game are in trouble. No one's going to come around and do the things I do. No robot as yet has been created that will come around. No machine, no electric lawnmower, a robot lawnmower. Yeah, you can't. I am dealing with people that have got these robot mops and vacuum cleaners that do not a bad job if you've got a square house. But God help you if you've got any bends and curves and stairs and stuff. No, not yet. Not yet anyway. But, you know, this Fiona show is just fucking on the level I've never heard before. Now, talking about Yarn Irvin before, he got her on when she first popped out of the woodwork about 10, 15 years ago, used the trivium on her, and she hung up on him within 5 minutes. This show never got released. Never got released. Fantastic. I love it. Beer, drinking, ice. Wonderful. Yeah, anyway. I listened to it. I mean, the claims, and she brings up again, John Bell, the famous thespian. He was one of her abusers, apparently, and my old, what's his name, Bruce Spence, she brings him up again. The Kidmans get absolutely thrown under a bus again. I mean, to be honest, like, you know, you're listening to Beethoven.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Thank you, Sarah, for that wonderful bumper. What a voice the girl has. What a voice. Beethoven 62 on the 11th, the splashdown. Did they splash down? I haven't seen it. It would just make me sick. I mean, you saw the blue fucking crap, whatever it's called, with what's his name from Amazon and Katy Perry and all those girls getting out and, this has just become a pathetic joke. And, you know, the fact they've timed it for the wars going on and everything's in the media and no one's actually really looking up. But you saw one of the most common things that even normies are sharing. They shared a photo saying we're halfway there, guys, and the moon looks like a little spot. And all these people are sharing pictures going, the moon above my house, the moon that I'm looking at, the moon that they're looking at. And it's like, this is just a joke. We've got a normal great big moon and they're halfway there and it was like a speck in the horizon. Like, fucking hell. Really? Oh, really? Yeah, so I'm going to keep talking about this Fiona Barnett and Sean McCann. It is worth listening to. But in between, now I'm not throwing her under a bus completely, but she does bring up really good names of psychologists and psychiatrists that were at Sydney University. And definitely. And you look into them and you'll find that you can trace them in with all those crazy CIA-linked experiments were definitely happening, 100%. Sydney is full of it. Now, have they added into her psyche false memories of being a super soldier? Because I'm telling you, the whole story, especially when it's a female saying it, and I can believe a male possibly having these abilities, but a 14-year-old female, no matter how hard she tries, is never going to take down a normal grunt infantryman, let alone a special forces boss that she was claiming she took down. Yes, you've been watching this on Hollywood, so you think it's possible. You've seen Charlie's Angels, you know, these skinny Drew Barrymore, well, not so skinny Drew Barrymore, but, you know, all those three, the modern Charlie's Angels, karate, kicking and knocking, you know, spinning around and with a backhand and knocking a guy out. It does not happen. You've seen UFC, you're watching guys getting their heads pummeled like into pulp and they get back up again. Watch a Hollywood movie and these females can spin around and knock people out and they get back up again. It is just fake, ludicrous bullshit. She seems to believe that. And what disappoints me most is McCann, you know, staying and not questioning, you know, oh, have you got a date or a rough time when this Cessna full of children went into Sydney Harbour? Because Sydney Harbour has got houses all over it. If a plane went into anywhere, it'll be a famous incident. She just offhandedly says these things like, I crashed a plane full of children into the thing, saved one, marched to Holsworthy Barracks where the secret base is, seven levels of it, knocked out my commander, then got attacked by... it sounds like a movie, but even if it was a movie, this is beyond Steven Seagal level of banal. It's just impossible. It's Hollywood fiction that she's bringing up. And no, I will challenge. I can outswear her, guaranteed. She can carry on like that in front of me, and I'll outswear her and query her and ask her. I mean, we'd have a lot in common because she's obviously read the same books as I've read, seen the same documentaries, and probably, you know, she knows her stuff. There's no doubt about that. But once you start adding this aliens, what do they call them? Crummies. This is Alex Jones level. I seen him. I was there. I know. Underneath the base, there was us crummy monkeys. You know, secret bases on the moon. There is a secret base on the moon. Alex Jones. No, 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 no. But she's taking it to a new level. So I highly recommend, if you want to be entertained, but you, again, some of the names she mentions, if she mentions a professor's name or soccer, write it down and look into them. She's obviously done that before, and she knows stuff. She does know stuff, but she's just adding this ludicrous level of banal. I've never heard the likes of it, ever. And that's saying something. Ice. Not the drug, the frozen water. Fantastic. Yeah, no, this is just, but what, again, McCann, like, I'd defy her to go and say William Ramsey, who is a lawyer, but only a lawyer of property. He's not a criminal lawyer. You know, he's got no training in criminal law. SMJ, that's Sean from, that pops up every now and then. He's got a degree in criminal law, but someone like him, you're very hard to argue with a guy that's been trained how to argue. And Jan Ervin, that guy can argue like I've never heard before. Well, yeah, I have, Dave Joe. You know, they use the trivium quadrivium. The things that you would say, if you were in a Jesuit school, and I didn't go to one of them, I didn't remember anything or learn anything I went to school anyway, apart from English. I've talked about this before. But if you have Jesuit education, you're trained in trivium. How, what, where, and why. And quadrivium, you talk about music and all sorts of amazing things. That's why most politicians you'll find have been trained in the trivium. And they're also trained at the critical thinking and, you know, all these different techniques that you as a public, or, you know, when you say public school, I mean, kids that you didn't have to pay for their education, and over in Australia and New Zealand, public school. And in England, it's a public school means you're extremely well educated and you've been trained in this thing. And you, like, we've got Cranbrook and a number of schools, Knox in Sydney, that are, you know, very expensive schools where they train you in this kind of thing. And they wind up in politics and business because they're trained to talk to you. Because they know you're an idiot, literally, if you didn't get, you're not self-taught. I'm self-taught. I am self-taught. But I'm nothing compared to all these other people that mastered the art of the English language, is, you know, that they understand the legal terms and everything. And the really good show I listen to, again, I reckon one of the best shows now to me is, for just a general bit of information, is All Bits Are Off. What's his name? Germ Warfare Show. Fantastic. He has some fantastic guests. And, you know, I query something. Like, there's a pro chemtrail. No, he says that. There's no such thing as contrails and chemtrails. It's actually just pollution that's coming out. Now, obviously, there's pollution coming out of planes, but we're not seeing. Yeah, I'm not even going to argue this anymore. That's why I absent something the other day. I think it was that same show that I'm just talking about here with germ warfare. He had two guys talking about them. One guy says there's no such thing as them. They're just pollution, basically, but. Sorry, I've been into this for too long. I know too much about the subject, and I do not waste my time anymore. So I'm not going over there unless I'm desperate. I'm not going over there. unless I cannot think of anything to do, I'm not going over there because it's false information, disinformation. People are saying there's no such thing as weather manipulation. Not part of my thing anymore. I do not waste my time. And they're not welcome to talk to me over here either at all. Not interested. I think I might start doing a show on Sunday night, so the weather manipulation show. The weather manipulation show. They're free talking with the Australians. And they can have a Australian, New Zealand, down under. What we're actually seeing, not having some person in another country telling us what we're seeing. No, not happening. Anyway, fantastic. I actually listened back to the last show I did. It was great information, but it was fucking appallingly recorded, and that's because, and I could be doing the same thing again. Hopefully I'm not. I just did, would have done, you would have heard something then. How do I do this? How do I do this? I've got a swinging microphone. It's bashing onto my mic. Sorry, an earpiece that's bashing onto my mic. But anyway, we'll put up with it. Yeah, that was a terrible recording, but good information. IRA, IRA, N, IRA, Q. What does this mean? This is too much of a coincidence. This is what I call neuro-linguist and psycholinguist linguistic programming. IRA, Irish Republican Army, IRA, N in the end of it, Iran, IRAQ, Iraq, the previous, you know, last 20 years of wars and damage and destruction, thanks to the Americans. Thanks to the American military. Yeah. So I highly recommend the Sean McCann show. I would rather see William Ramsey, though, who, again, is a trained lawyer, go in there and go hard on her and just ask simple questions like, so when did this happen? What time, you know, just how, what, where, and when? This plane that you crashed full of children, was it reported? What date did it happen roughly? You know, how old were you? You were 14, so we can go find the day. What month was it? You obviously got a sharp memory because she's claiming all this is repressed memory that she suddenly got back again, which is a classic one. So basically, she can what happens? They throw the baby out with the bathwater with people that make claims like this, and they'll use her to exonerate a whole lot of people that were definitely up to no good, and Anthony Kidman being one of them, for sure. Did she actually meet him? Did she have anything to do with him? I don't know, but anyone that's read that many conspiracy books that knows all this, she knows them all. So I was listening to her just drop them out of the top, off the top of her head, in between, you fucking cunt, you fucking cunt, you fucking cunt, you fucking cunt. Literally. But then she brings up real cases of abuse going on in schools and stuff like that she's reported. Like, yes, she has definitely been going to the police and reporting things, but she's then mixes it up with the ludicrous, the Alex Jones level conspiracy stuff. And worse, way worse than Alex Jones level. Even, that lunatic that was on, again, Higher Side Chats, I forget his name, but he claims the Queen was appearing and disappearing and making them. She'd suddenly appear in a whole room full of clones, and Queen Elizabeth was a lizard that was making them. It was someone Campbell, Donald Campbell, or Donald someone or other. He got at least two big shows that I heard on Higher Side Chats. Some of the worst shows ever on that show. There's been a couple. There's an Australian guy that turned up that thinks that the Earth's only 200 years old. A lunatic, obviously. He was on there. He's not fussy about who he has on, but he won't have Dave J on at all. Greg Carwood will not have Dave J on. I defy him to do what I did, 56 episodes of great information. Carwood, not that I'd listen to me, and I don't listen to him either. I don't listen to him either, not anymore. The only time I did is when he had good guests, and that's not the ones I'm talking about, not this 200-year character. and Campbell. Is it Donald Campbell? I think it might be. The clone guy. I mean, this is just absolute garbage. It's beyond QAnon even. The white hat crap. I was talking about that to somebody the other day too, this white hat scam. And this is what, you know, Donald Trump is attracting a lot of these people to. They believe he's there to save them. Oh, dear, oh, dear. All I can say is, oh, dear, oh, dear. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Now, I'm going to mute for a bit, and then I'll be back a bit old, 100%. I actually asked, what's her name, Emu, if she wants to come on and have a chat. Or anyone, that's, if you're listening and you're female, or someone that's not a weather manipulation denier, you're very welcome on the show. Very welcome. I'm not here to argue. I'm here to discuss. Yeah, it's a shame Rick and Rollo show's not on tonight, but I keep telling this guy he's got to stop drinking vodka when he feels good. Just start drinking. What else can you drink? Plenty of other alcohols. I'll keep talking. Masculine tattooed sports family. I've kind of touched on that subject just before, but they've changed. They've got females now catching up with the males, is, you know, having more tattoos. They are absolutely covered in them all over the place. The girl that owns the gym I go to, a lovely girl, surfer, but she's got sleeves of tattoos and, you know, quite masculine the way she talks. You know, she's got three children. She's a very, you know, she's a great mother and everything, but this is the new female. They are surfers, tougher than most of the actual guys. I'm not going to go out there amongst the sharks. I'll give her that one on me. She's literally got sleeves of tattoos though, and her legs and everything. This is everywhere. Everywhere I look, it's chicks that are getting covered in tattoos, and they're acting more masculine than the guys. Literally. And swearing and carrying on, getting into fights and all the things that men used to do back in the good old days, you know, and I was one of them, you know, going out, getting drunk, carrying on, blah, blah, blah. But women didn't used to do that as much. Now, thanks to this, what do they call it? Ladettes, not lads, ladettes. So you've got that going on in England, big time. But these chicks are hot looking. Dressed, I mean, sorry, this is very unprofessional. JF1, write another letter to my secretary, Miss Brahms. They're going out dressed up in this gear that, as a 17, 18 year old male like I was, would dream of seeing, like the shortest skirts, the highest heels, the, you know, the bra, all those boob bra lifting, boob lifting bras on, push up bras, makeup, covered in makeup, and then getting blind drunk and staggering down streets of England in these kind of, you know, working class areas, you know, Wessex, and, you know, all those areas, or Manchester. Just look it up online. It's, they're everywhere, staggering around drunk, getting into fights. And the girl, one of the girls from the Matildas, who's also a lesbian, famous, their famous soccer player, I can't forget her name, she got into a brawl, harassed, called a cop a white, C-U-N, see you next Tuesday, and accused him of all this. And luckily, he had the temerity and guts to stand up and have her sued for being racial hatred. And she had to go to court, and she's kept her mouth shut since then, because it's all right to say it to white men usually, but no, this guy stood up for himself, and good on him. He's just an English cop, beat cop. Mm. And Samantha, her name is Sam, which is never a good name. You've got to watch out what you name your children if you don't want them to be lesbians, because I know a number of Sams are all lesbian Samanthas. You've got to watch out with names. I do think there's a there with names. Damien is another one that you tend. I know too many Damiens that have ended up shirt lifters or Vegemite drillers. If you know what I'm talking about. Why is this so? Does names mean everything? I do believe. My original name, which I do not use, but Ab seems to like saying it all the time. It's like, why would you keep bringing up that if it's on my email? You're listening to Be Told.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too by going to truthmeets.com and clicking on the support link. Truthmeets.com, click on the support link.
Thank you very much. What a wonderful bumper. Joel, you're a genius. Or did Sarah do that back in the day? Not sure. Be Told 62, Saturday night. Saturday night, Rick. Back in the day, I'll tell you what I would have been doing when I was having a great time. One of my greatest times I have was, I think I was in my 30s, when I reckon I was at my peak best, right up to 40-something or other. I think I was, I just look back at my photos and stuff, and I'm like, you were the guy then. You were the guy. I saw what I was getting up to. I think it was 2000. I was single for 2 years back then. Or, you know, I'm sorry, when I say single, I was ending up with different chicks and you know, every now and then, quite regularly, sadly, or happily. But I was going out on a Saturday night. My Saturday night was, for some reason, this is when Ecstasy came out. And I highly rate it as a fantastic drug for basically removing aggression and becoming more laid back. You'll never see fights in back in those days. And it was very interesting. It was a weaponized drug that came out for sure. And I'm just reading today an interesting anecdote by Jar Wobble, John Wardell from Public Image Limited and all his other great bands. Awesome book. And he remembers in 1989 or somewhere, he was doing his gigs with his band, and he hadn't he'd become sober at this stage, and he had no idea what was coming, because he said they were told that, you know, we've got a dance party afterwards or a rave, we've got to get your gear and get out. And he said he was walking out, and there's 500 people queued up to get in to one of these raves that came out of nowhere in the late 80s. They call it, so it started off Ballaric, it's kind of a Spanish area, this kind of, the whole scene came out. Mark Devlin talks about it quite extensively on his show. He does some of the better stuff on Ballaric and the dance party scene, dance, whatever. But all of a sudden, what he noticed is that these, because he was a tough East Ender from the East End of London, definitely into fights all the time. Really interesting book. I love it. This is the second time I've read it. I just finished most of it today. But he said he spotted a couple of, you know, he called tasty types, you know, from his past that were all, you know, back in the day, they'd be there causing trouble and mayhem and fights. And they came up and they were hugging him and saying how good it was to see him. And he thought, that's really weird. Why are they hugging me like this? These are not the guys that come up and hug you. They were ex-firm, you know, the firm soccer hooligan types. And ecstasy destroyed the firms. And this has been a thing that's been talked about many, many times, of how when ecstasy came out, MDMA, it absolutely destroyed the aggression. It took aggression out of people that they've been getting via, you know, their superpowered, what they did to the bear in the 70s. Alan Watt talked about that regularly. Ding, 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 ding. Cutting through the matrix. All of a sudden, when you take the stuff, the last thing you want to do is get into a fight. You just want to talk and hug and dance and dance, dance, dance. It's fantastic. The payback is, it's what it's doing. You get a debt on Tuesdays where you're just literally a mess because you had too much serotonin released and you're into serotonin debt 3 days later. They knew this. This is a completely weaponized drug. It was, they knew it was around back in the day, you know, in the 30s and et cetera. Maybe in the 1914, I think the Germans came up with it. They were giving it to their soldiers in the trenches and they were actually feeling more comfortable. And you would, no matter where you were, you feel extremely comfortable. It's used. What it is fantastic for is, say, husband and wife, you're not getting on. Not saying things what they mean, they have that, and all of a sudden, all everything's fine again. It is fantastic for that, but it comes with a caveat: you're going to suffer on the Tuesday, where you're going to start fighting again, way worse than you were before. And I've talked about this before. The first time I started seeing it was again late 80s, about that time. Beautiful beer. I was in a bar on a Sunday afternoon, and I had never seen, witnessed anything like it. This chick that was the barmaid, she was a singer, and she was running around, she was smiling and laughing, and all of a sudden she just burst into tears as she was serving us. And my friend said, oh no, she's been on ecstasy. And I went, what do you mean ecstasy? He said, that's what it does. It makes you want to, you burst into tears. You become an emotional wreck 2 or 3 days after you've had your debt. You've given so much love and happiness, you get this debt about 2 days later. And I can't forget what I saw, and probably went through it a few times because I thought it was a fantastic thing. I used to go out only once a week, but it'd be a Saturday night, and I'd go to out by myself too, and I wasn't going out to pick up or carry on. I was going out to get on the dance floor and just completely relax compared to all the, I was training heavily and I'd been hanging out with a whole lot of heavies and stuff like that as well, and doing that security stuff. You know, we were, you know, all dressed in black and tough and blah, blah, blah. And this completely removes that whole thing. It was like a, just changes your whole personality. And I'd go out, I'd never been into dancing before, and you know, I was into headbanging, for God's sake. And you go out, then you'd be out, and you go out till 4 or 5 in the morning and come home, and then the next day alcohol tasted so much better, and you could drink as much as you liked. You shouldn't have, but you could, because you're still coming down off this wonderful thing. I had I look back on that era as this absolutely fantastic. You just meet complete strangers and you get on with them. It was fantastic. That era is still around, but it's now kind of way more privatized. And they've got, I think they call it Molly in America. That's the one though. Molly's MDA, which is to me better. It's straight into it. You're just completely relaxed and just music and you just want to talk and everything's more important. But I remember explaining to my ex, 3 exes ago, who was right into the scene, and she wasn't great at meeting people. All of a sudden she'd got into the scene and she's had all these friends. And I said to her, these are fake friends. These are people that you're meeting in pubs and you're off your head or in clubs. Then on Tuesdays, and they're not going to be there anymore. And she didn't understand that back in those days, but I understood it. I could see it straight away, that this false euphoria that you were given by a pill, completely weaponized. And it came in and it was marketed with a smiley face everywhere. And but I have great memories of it. I'm not going to run this down at all. I thought it was fantastic. It was good for me. But yeah, I can say, and I know a number of people got into relationships that didn't quite work out, but it was if you get into a relationship where you're on a pill, you are done for. I'll just say that, unless it's a miracle that person is actually genuinely as open as, and you are as open with that person as well. Extremely likely that there's so many relationships were made and founded in clubs and from the 80s to through to the early 2000s. You're completely based on false euphoria, which you got from these pills. It's not like, so pot's a different kettle of fish completely. Absolutely, completely. This is a complete different, this just completely removes all inhibitions and you're just more in tune with music and you want to talk and have deep conversations and a hug and, oh, it's, you know. But my one was just going out and dancing. I loved it. And I had some great times, great memories. Oh. He says, drinking. Could I just mute every time I have a sip? No, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to do that. Anyway, I really do enjoy doing Be Told shows because I can just talk away or whatever I want to talk about and not argue. Now, I'll just check out some of my notes I've taken through the week. Elites disconnect with each other. Oh, well, this is an interesting conversation too. How many... And Jar Wobble. I'm always on about Jans and Jans and Yar. Jar Wobble. He talks about, he is just a fantastic writer. This book, Memoirs of a Geezer, is highly recommended. And Marth is reading it as we speak. He'd be probably finished it by now. I said to him, you have got to read this book. I forgot that he was from the South, with the S-O-U-F, South London, not from North, East London. But he knew some of the places, and it's just a really good book. But what he brings up is about public school, the people he dealt with that have been to public school, because, and he's very good at comparing things to things. I will possibly read a bit later on when I took a note saying to read from this page. But he's completely correct that the public school, a lot of them were boarding schools. So they were sent off by their parents. They had lots of money and they send the kids off to boarding schools. And it's like the royal family. There's no connection between the parent. Pater and mater are literally pater and mater. That's mother and father to you out there that are not elites back in the day. Sorry, shut the window. So they get... sent to horrible boarding schools, and they get a different personality. They don't have a loving mother and father. Like, I was very lucky that my parents couldn't afford to send me away. I'm sure they wanted to a lot of the time. But we normal people are at home with their mother and father and have an established relationship. These elites do not have that. They were sent off at a very young age to boarding schools where they were brutalized. And their parents had the same thing done to them, so they thought it was that they were doing the right thing. That's why there's a complete disconnect between these politicians and rich people than your average working class knockabout geezer. It's like, and now interesting, Giza, the Great Pyramid of Giza, and Giza, G-E-E-Z-E-R, and Giza Butler, Giza, the pyramids. Is there a there? I just thought of that just then. That's why these people are different. They have had this bond of love removed from them from a very young age. And I'm talking about the richest people out there. And sent to these horrible, boarding schools and private schools for tuition. And they were brutalized a lot of the time. And they did it deliberately. I know King Charles was sent to Gordonstoun in Scotland, which is notorious for being the worst boarding school in the world, apparently, just to toughen them up, they call it. But it's basically, these people are not the same as you or me or anyone that would listen to the show, perhaps. These people have been, had this, they don't have this mother and father bond thing in their psyches. That's why they can change and do things on a whim. and bring all sorts of things, including I just saw to my horror yesterday as I was crossing the road in Ashfield in the Sydney last night, a advert for the new vaccine for children. And guess what? It's non-needle vaccine. They shoot it up your nose. It's aerosolized. So now they've got what they said they were going to do, just be able to spray it over the top of areas and just go out there and breathe the stuff in, and you're getting whatever's in this crap into your bloodstream aerosolized. Now, this fits in again with the top dressing that we're getting over the top of our heads in Australia and parts of America for sure. Susie sent that stuff. That's top dressing. That is going over the top of wherever you are. And there's something in that stuff for sure. That's just horrific, what that photo she sent me. But I've seen the same thing here. Again, we're not going to talk about it on this show at the moment, but tomorrow night I might do a show exclusively on this subject with anyone that wants to, anyone's into it. Anyone's not into it, not welcome. Will be removed immediately. We want people that are getting on together and are friends. That's why we do not do the arguing thing on the Be Told shows. And no one that has contrary beliefs is welcome on a Be Told show, guaranteed, permanently. That's the way it is. Because I've got no time now to waste my time. I have wasted my time. And I talked about in the last three episodes all these different fucking things that came out and they were just there to waste your time. Get into your, some movie that corresponded with a shooting somewhere and da 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 da. It meant nothing to you at the end of the day. You should have dismissed it straight away. No, there's groups of people who want to start arguing. Oh, no, there was this happened and that happened and he was wearing this and that, da da da. No, wasting your time. We're going through it right now. The real stuff is happening. This is not a rehearsal. This is not a rehearsal. What's going down globally right now? I talked to a guy filling up his tanker. He had a BW, they call it. I think it's BW, whatever that means. $3,500 to fill his tank of, he had three trailers. Was it two trailers? Big Kenworth, $3,500 to fill up every time he filled up. I was listening to a truckie this morning. So, it's $15,000 basically to get from there to there. Australia's a big country, like America and Russia and China, not like England and New Zealand, big country. It's $15,000 to get a load of this to there. So this is going to get put onto your food. This is going to get put onto your costs. The oil problem is going to cause massive issues with plumbing, particularly plumbing. That's one of them. Pipes. All of your pipes now are not made of clay. They're made of PVC, which is completely oil-based. The manufacturers will not be able to produce them. I still am kind of involved with the building industry. I spend at least a few months a year working for a builder, which is where I make my money. It's my favourite. It's very hard. No, it's not very hard. It's my major income, though, particularly at the end of the year when he has jobs that need to be finished off. I speak to loads of tradies. I speak to people on the train now, and I'm speaking to this and that. I'm having real conversations all the time. I'm not doing net research or talking to people that haven't met. I'm talking to people face-to-face, eye-to-eye, eye-to-eye. In my skies, I talk about my skies that I see over my head with people that are here watching it and shaking their heads going, what the fuck is that? I just had another great conspiracy conversation or a conspiracy off, or I call it, with the guy on the service station. And he knows, he's really good, actually. He's really good. He actually brought up some stuff and I said, well, I mentioned bongversations as I was talking about that kind of metaphysical stuff. And he said, We had a yeah, great conversation. I have these conversations everywhere with real people. I'm not an online, you hear me online, yes. But when I talk about people, these are people I met face to face, eye to eye. We point up and look at this. We're discussing things that we can see. We're not on an audio chat, which are fucking, I don't even listen to the fakeologist audio chats anymore. They are just so banal. I just listen to JF1 sends me writes a review and I go, that's why I don't listen to that show anymore. 10 hours of people that don't know what they're talking about. Occasional couple of guests might come in that are all right. I don't know any of them. I do not know any of them. You're listening to Me Told.
No matter what your age, you're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
What a voice that man has, Joel. I've said this before and I'll say it again. He should be doing the voices on the trains. The Penrith train is delayed by 30 minutes. It'll be back on normal next week. He should be doing them. I could do that. I could get a job on the trains and do voiceovers perhaps. And why not? Be Told, episode number 62 on the 11th, the day of the splashdown of that pathetic moon Artemis mission. What a joke. What a joke. Beep, 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 beep. Oh, this is my other thing too. The two things I want. You know those, what do they call them? Dogs that have to look after mad people, loonies, therapy dogs or whatever they call them. I want an organisation that sends them off for respite care for having to put up these loonies that they're having to be. I saw one today. There was a guy, kind of, I don't know, he was Middle Eastern-y kind of guy, standing at the train station. He could clearly see he had AirPods in his ear and he's kind of moving around, but he had a therapy dog with him, a German Shepherd. He should have had a German Shepherd. That's what I'd like, looking after him. They had a poor Labrador, black Labrador, and I could look at this dog and I could see this dog is miserable. And I've seen another one, this red-headed loony that turns up at the gym and brings in her therapy dog with her, with a big, these dogs have got a big bright thing saying therapy dog or whatever it's called. You know, the person that I'm attached to is loony. That's what I would put on it. Because the person that tends to want to have one of these things, unless they've got genuine issues, most of them are just mad people. And these poor dogs have to roam around. They're not blind, which I genuinely think is a good reason to have a guide dog, whatever. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about these therapy dogs for loonies. Or people that claim they've got an issue and they need to bring their dog into a gym with the molting everywhere, which I've gone on about before. You would have heard me. I want an organisation to take these dogs away for at least 3 months a year and have a normal life with kids playing with them and fetching balls. I think it's cruel that they should be attached to loonies, full stop. And the other thing that I also want is that genuine loonies should have a vest or a hat that they can wear so they can be, we don't miss it. Sometimes I'm wandering along and I see a person walking down the streets gesticulating and screaming and pointing. And I think, oh, here comes one. Here's a loony. No, they're just on the phone talking to their ex or their current girlfriend or whatever. You can't tell the difference between back in the day, a guy roaming around talking to himself and pointing and swearing, you knew that they were mad. Not anymore. They're just probably on the phone talking to their current partner or whatever. I think there should be a vest issued for genuine people that have got an issue so that we can know that they're mad and they're screaming and gesticulating, they're not on the phone. Am I mad? Is this wrong? I don't think so. And I definitely think that there's respite care for, what do they call them? Is it therapy dogs? There's a name for them. These, I saw the eyes of this dog from the train. I was looking out and I thought, that is a sad looking dog. It was attached to a guy, kind of pacing up and down. You know, that was not, nothing particularly wrong with him from what I could see. And he obviously gets some kind of sympathy thing from having this dog. He probably gets money from the NDIS. I haven't actually looked up and analysed that word, but that is the biggest scam going on in Australia at the moment. But these poor animals are attached by a cord to what I would consider people that back in the day would have been probably locked up in a psych ward, and probably for good reason. Probably for good reason. Am I being cruel? No, I'm being empathetic to the animals. I feel sorry for animals more than the humans. Guaranteed. Now, there's something else I was going to talk about. I thought an orange hat, though, but if you're genuinely mad, you can wear an orange hat so you can walk around screaming and pointing and people will know he's mad. Not he's not on the phone to his ex-girlfriend or whatever. Because I've done that before, roaming around screaming and gesticulating and pointing, and I was arguing with someone online, be told. Now, were you aware that the original Illuminati, you know, Adam Weishaupt, the signature for those guys was a circle dot. Basically, your target, the target logo, that is the original sign off. If they were signing a letter or whatever, it was a circle with a dot. Circle dot. I didn't know that. I knew it was a powerful logo. I knew that, but I didn't know that was that Weishaupt and then his gang. He got exposed. This is a very interesting conversation, actually, why I just brought this up. In 1980 or 81, I first heard the term by my mother, Illuminati. She, probably my neighbour that had got me at the Scottish Guide, probably came over and told all about Adam Weishaupt and how the Illuminati got discovered because of the courier got struck by lightning and struck by lightning and they found all these papers and, you know, it was a plot, you know, to overthrow the whatever, you know, insert name of German area that he was in. And that's why the, you know, I was immediately, you know, this is me that hated education, whatever. I was straight into that. Oh, what secret society? It struck by lightning. That's, I remember that sparked me, pardon the analogy, spark and lightning, into the whole thing that I'm into now, talking to you right now. You're listening to someone that's been reading and watching and observing and talking for 40, we'll keep saying 42, but it's sometimes I said 42 years ago. It's be 44 years nearly since 82. 44 years, really? Is that right? I can't remember my maths. Maths is not my strong point, I'll just tell you right now. Unless it's adding up 9-11s and 11s and 6s, I can do that off the top of my head. No matter how long the digits be told. Now, I'm just going to mute for a little bit and then I'll be back to finish off whatever the one I'm going to talk about, be told. And I'm back. Random health advice too. And I gave this yesterday to an old friend I bumped into. Now, I will talk about this actually. I will talk about this. I hope this has been recorded properly. I went into a bank yesterday. And the winner is Sydney. Oh, my God. Now, they had Westpac. That's the dodgy logo I've told you about, which is a trident, a three nails, a what else? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, I've talked about this before. It's a powerful logo, Westpac. Then it's not a W. It's three different shapes. And it's also there's four logos in there in one. Anyway. They closed their branch down and amalgamated with the St. George, which is the Dragon, which is was a private bank. It was an independent bank that got it's now amalgamated with Westpac. And back in the day on a Friday, you would have had 5 to 6 people to, you know, and when you walked into the bank, there was six windows you could go up to because it's a busy day for people that want to actually do face-to-face banking. St. George would have had 5 to 6 people across the road. They've amalgamated them. And guess how many people they had working behind the counter? One. This is those two banks amalgamated one with one person, this poor blonde, you know, my age-ish, you know, but younger probably, getting screamed at by everybody, queues of people, people like me who've lost their wallet 2 weeks, was it 2 weeks ago? 1 week ago. 1 week ago yesterday. I cannot take cash out because I've got my phone is, I can't do, so Westpac will not allow you to do cardless cash withdrawals from a machine because they had so many scammers that they stopped it. So you have to do face-to-face banking. I wasn't there for half an hour, and that was, I was lucky because the guy in front of me said he'd been there for an hour. Just to try and get money out. Now, if I wanted to take anything over $2,500 to $5,000 out, good luck. They will not allow you to take $5,000 out at the bank. This is Australia 2026. Can anyone see what's coming? Do you think this is just a joke? We're going into the, this is class form from civil economic form. You are not going into my world. Welcome to my world. Guaranteed, you're going into Klaus Schwab from the World Economics Forum's wet dream. You can't get cash out. Eventually, they're just going to shut all these bank branches down, and you're just going to have to deal with internet banking. And old people, the boomers plus the ones before them, there's still a lot of old women that are still not boomers. What do you call them? You know, ones that were born pre-1945. Plenty of them around. They're in the mid-80s now. For now, till they go and get their spray up the nose vaccine, it is coming. And this is the thing about wasting time. I am not wasting any more time. My time is brief. I've got no more time. If anyone disagrees and wants to argue with any of my points or whatever, oh, they can try and argue with me, but not on here. Not going to. And I'm not going on to shows with people who disagree with me. It is wasting my time. I've now moved on. I'm a free agent. I can do a Be Told show and talk about whatever the fuck I want to talk about and make as many clinking noises as I want. Eventually do a music show. What I want is music. I want more music. More music. But anyway, the banks are just what a nightmare. And the guy in front of me and my friend, who'd been there for an hour, he said, and he's got lots of, he's probably got over $1 million in his investment account, more probably, I don't know. And he said he's got, you know, he said to the girl, he goes, I'm just, you know, I'm shocked that I can't do this. And I can't. And she said, oh, look, it's just the way it is. You have to go online and we can't do this, we can't do that. And he goes, well, I'll take my money out of here. And back in the day, if you watched Beverly Hillbillies with, you know, their banker, he'd fall over and faint if you said something like that. Now, they don't give a fuck. They do not care. She just said, look, that's what you got to do, take it out. They are so under the pump. The poor staff have been cut back. They're treated like, you know, by the public they blame the staff when it's got nothing to do with the staff. This is all to do with the agenda that cash has got to go and banks need to be phased out. And that's what they're doing. It is happening. Now, New Zealand, we've got weather manipulation that's been going on. It's just New Zealand is going through this absolute nightmare of a summer of rain they've never seen before. Never seen before. And I'm watching guys, you know, the weather manipulation, people are showing satellite photos of strange amounts of stuff coming out of these giant ships in the exact same area where we were told the Chinese were doing war games and you weren't allowed to fly over. What a coincidence. What a coincidence. It's all happening. And the food bowl of New Zealand's going, Australia's about to get it. I think we're going through, we're forecast by long-range weather forecast to have
bad rain in another 2 months. Tari, be on the lookout for that emu dance. Keep your umbrella handy.
I'm going to have to walk out, go out and buy some waterproof hiking boots, because I'm not going to be driving to Sydney if I don't face Sydney yet, or even around here. I need to be outside, and I don't want my feet wet. But it's coming, and it's been forecast in another couple of months. You're going to be hearing me talking about record flooding in the mid-north coast again. We had it last year. Really bad. Really bad. You can hear me lighting up things, and not joints. Not joints. That's another show, The Conversation. You might hear that. Not me. Yeah, no, it's full, absolutely full on. This is not a rehearsal. Everything's happening right now. And I've been having these conversations with friends and people that I'm on the street with and vehicles with and sitting next to, and everyone can feel it and see it. They can just, you know, this is, unless they go, oh, there's too many people that are waking up, let's pull it back for six more months. They're not going to stop. They're just going to roll through with this. And the cat, like, what my experience in the bank yesterday was shocking, absolutely shocking. And that's my money, you know, that I was struggling to get out, my own money. So it's pretty bad. It is pretty bad. I think I'm sick of this now, and I think I might go and watch TV. I think I've done enough. And I'll be probably back on tomorrow night, actually, because I'll be bored brainless tomorrow night, and I'll do another Be Told show. I might even do a Australian weather manipulation show and invite people in here and do it on Sunday nights now. They're more interesting people out there. Be Told. Now, what we're going to go out with musically, I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but I'll send this off to Joel, number 62. Be Told on April the 11th, 2026. What a year. Oh, my God. No wonder I had such a great year, a great Christmas. I actually thought that to myself. I said, everything went so perfectly. Maybe something's coming down the pipe afterwards. And, yeah, it did. Yes, it did. Now, I've got so many shows to catch up on. I've got this Joel's channel that he's sent me, whatever it's called, Jellyfin. I've got to catch up with a whole lot of shows. Pluribus, I've got to start watching that tonight, I think. I've got to go actually tomorrow to watch old friend or a great guy, old guy, he died in his 90s last year. He's getting his ashes scattered tomorrow in the sea at the beach, and I'll be going to there tomorrow. So I'll be going tonight. Signing off. So what show song will we go out with? Could we play a Jar Wobble song? Because I'm going to be talking about and reading from his book, and I'll be doing that tomorrow night, possibly. Could we do that song with Sinead O'Connor? Pictures, whatever it's called. Visions of Me or whatever it's called. Maybe we'll do that. Sinead O'Connor and Jar Wobble. Really cool song. Highly recommend this album too. And the ones, Invaders of the Heart albums are really good. Not all his esoteric-y kind of jazz stuff that's just too out there, even for me. But Visions of You by with Sinead O'Connor and John Wardell, a.k.a. A Jar Wobble. Fantastic talent. Absolutely fantastic talent. It means nothing towards the conversation of the show, but that will be episode 62, song Visions of You by Jar Wobble. And do you know Sinead O'Connor didn't charge a cent? And said, no, I'm just doing it. She had such a good time. She loved the song he wrote. She just said, I'll do it for free. And he said, that's such an Irish thing, you know, that's just like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. But he said he ended up giving her boyfriend or husband publishing rights to some of the percentage of the song, because he said you can't. That's the reason it's so big, is because of her. She has such an amazing voice. Beautiful voice, Sinead O'Connor. Anyway, that's it for me. You're listening to Beatle Bye. Oh, no, I'll have to come back.
You've reached another top of hour on Truthmeets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Oh, I thought, oh, but I have to come back now because the bumper turned up. Is it 20 minutes? 20 minutes? Fantastic, anyway. I really enjoy the format here, and it is comfortable, very comfortable, especially talking to myself. I just find it so much more relaxing. I do not reckon Rollo Zone. We'll talk a little bit about, before we go. Yeah, Sinead O'Connor didn't want a cent. That's a typical, because she was a very amazing woman, that one. A very distinctive voice. And John or Jar Wobble had written the song when he can't clean himself up, because he was an absolute knockabout, always getting into fights. East Ender, proper East End London. And it's so nice to read this book where he's openly talking about stuff. And I love the way he talks and writes. I recommended it to a few people. My daughter read it too, actually. I said, you should read this book. It's just a good, honest, write. The way he writes is really honest, and I love it. I would get on really well with that guy, guaranteed. He's about 12 years older than me, so he's probably a year of the dragon, I bet. I bet he is. There's a there too with Chinese horoscopes and years. And there's definitely a there with personalities as well. I'm fairly accurate over the years. I've been into stars since the 70s. I am definitely starist as well. I prejudge people if I find they're a certain thing, and I'm usually right. I'll get on with certain people and not with other people. Taurus and Capricorns and Virgos are earth mutable, or not immutable. They all get on, you just get on with them immediately. You just have a rapport. Other ones, not so much. Other ones, not so much. But I still have great friends that are supposedly people that you're not meant to get on with. But we have great friendships because you bounce off each other and you're different. And you don't want people that all get on with each other. You do need to have a bit of confrontation to move on and to get over some things that you might be wrong at. But anyway, Visions of You by Jar Wobble, and I'll try and find a good clean version for Joel. And he's probably working hard tonight somewhere. So I'll be back tomorrow night, though, and doing a show on weather manipulation. Yes, I will be doing that. Thank you very much. A one, a two, a three, Visions of You. Good night, everybody. Bye-bye. ¶¶